TMZ TV.
Remember, to God, 1,000 years is as a day. So 2,000 years is just as 2 days is to us. So God does not take account of time the way we take account of time. So His plan is proceeding. It's proceeding rapidly, according to Him, not so much to us. We're stuck in this mud down here, but we can be assured from believing Scripture that that's the way it is. Now, to finish Matthew 24, yesterday I told you about Noah and the presence of the Son of Man. I love how Noah is drawn upon as an example. What an extreme example. And yet we're seeing the same extreme at the end of this eon. That's the kind of eon we're living in. We are so incredibly placed to where the action is. The day the flood came and took them all away. Why? Because they weren't paying attention. And we're going to see more of that today, of how most people are not paying attention. Because there are so many other things to capture your attention. This is a difficult book to grasp, and it's not fun to read it. It's not fun to study it. But we're paying attention to the times, and that is going to pay great dividends. Great dividends. You're slogging through now. Wait till they see you then. In those days, two shall be in the field. One is taken along, one is left. Two grinding at the millstone. One is taken along, one is left. Be watching then, for you are not aware on what day your Lord is coming. That was verse 40 through 42 of Matthew 24. Christians like to take this verse and apply it to the snatching away, what they would call the rapture. This is not the rapture. Because in the rapture, the snatching away, those who are called, those who are chosen, are taken away. Here, it's the wicked that are taken away in the manner of Sodom and Gomorrah. The wicked are taken away and the righteous are left behind. That's right, the righteous are left behind. Why is that? Because the righteous are going to be ruling and reigning upon the earth. So why would you take them away? It's very, very practical. The righteous are going to be the meek that shall inherit the earth. So there's no purpose to take them away. Us, on the other hand, we are taken away because our realm of rulership and our realm of fulfillment, our destiny, is not on the earth. Verse 42, be watching then, for you are not aware on what day the Lord is coming. We've discussed this. You can know the season, but not the day. But even these who are not aware, they're not even aware of the season. It's as if they're dead. It's as if they're intoxicated. Because they're so consumed with gaining earthly advantage that they're not paying attention to the Lord. And this is a very severe warning here in verse 43. Fortunately, this doesn't apply to us, but I'm reading this as a teaching. Now, that be knowing that if the householder were aware in what watch the thief is coming, he would watch and will not let his house be tunneled into. Therefore, you also become ready, for in an hour which you are not supposing, the Son of Mankind is coming. This is only true of those who are not watching. But the fact that it's said here that in the hour you're not supposing, then that tells you that this is going to take the unwary by complete surprise. We can get a clue here. If it's a complete surprise, that is the trouble, the day of indignation. If that day is coming and it's a complete surprise, that tells me that the era prior to that, or the season prior to that, will be a season of great, bountiful blessing. It will be a season of smooth sailing, and it is, because they are marrying, they're giving in marriage, they're drinking, everything's fine. That's why it's going to be a shock. That's why it is going to hit them completely unawares. There's just no sense that it's coming. There's no sense. You have to be very careful in reading the signs, like watching the grass grow, watching the leaves blow. You see a dog, his ears perk up when a storm is coming. Very, very attentive. And everybody else is just, everything looks good. The sky is blue. The wind is favorable. Winds are light and variable out of the southwest at 8 to 10 miles per hour. Yes. When that happens, beware. Verse 45. Who consequently is the faithful and prudent slave whom the Lord places over his household to give him nourishment in season? Happy is the slave whom his Lord coming will be finding doing thus. Jesus said that if you are faithful in a few things, he will put you in charge of many things. I believe this to be a transadministrational truth in that we are groomed specifically for the task that we will occupy in the next eon. Because look, the comparison is made of a prudent slave whom the Lord places over his household to give them nourishment in season. This is a household to make sure they have food. And he provides it to them in season, which means when the figs are ready, he gets the figs. When the watercress is ready, he brings in the watercress. When the macadamia nuts are ready, in they come. Now, verily I'm saying to you that over all his possessions will he be placing him. Why? Because he was shown to be prudent and thrifty in a very little. Verse 48, now if that evil slave should be saying in his heart, quote, delaying is my Lord, and should begin to beat his fellow slaves, yet may be eating and drinking with the drunken, the Lord of that slave will be arriving on a day for which he is not hoping, and in an hour which he knows not, and shall be cutting him asunder. Ow, I wonder if that hurts. And will be appointing his part with the hypocrites. There shall be lamentation and gnashing of teeth. I wrote an article a couple weeks ago called Why Christians Are Hypocrites. And I believe hypocrisy to be one of the worst sins. It's a sin of pride because the hypocrite ends up saying flowery things and proclaiming great grandiosities and yet turns the face and says the complete opposite. Look for my article in ZWTF archives at my website, martinzender.com, Why Christians Are Hypocrites. And there will be lamentation and gnashing of teeth. People say, I don't believe in judgment. People think that because I believe in the salvation of all, I don't believe in judgment. But here it is. How could I not believe it when Jesus Christ said it? There shall be much lamentation because those who think they're getting into the kingdom in Israel now are not getting into the kingdom. And even in Christianity, those who think that they will have the first seat in the heavenly realms will not have the first seat. In fact, they won't even be there at all. Why? Same reason. Hypocrites. That's why. That's the end of Matthew 24. I have some time to fill in here, so I'm just going to give you the first part of chapter 25, and I will tell you that tomorrow I'm going to bring you a mind blower. It's truth that you've heard before, but someone posed a question to me that I had never thought of before. And I'm going to give that to you tomorrow. In the meantime, likened shall be the kingdom of the heavens to 10 virgins. I've referenced this parable many times, who getting their torches come out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were stupid. I love how stupid is a scriptural word. Paul uses it in Romans chapter 1 concerning those who professing themselves to be wise are made stupid. And they exchange the glory of God for human attainments and creeping things, and yes, that's very unwise. So if you call somebody stupid, it's kind of a scriptural adjective. Okay, 5 stupid, 5 prudent. For the stupid getting their torches got no oil with them. Now the prudent got oil and the crocks with their torches. Now at the delaying of the bridegroom, they all nod and drowse. We all know what happened. The bridegroom shows up. Everybody comes out to meet him. Then for some reason, the stupid virgins ran out with the prudent ones. And they realized they didn't have oil. And they said, give us your oil for our torches are going out. The prudent said, sorry, a little too late. Now, we That's the end of that, okay? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Because we don't have to worry about... First, I'm going to tell you why we don't have to worry about it, and then I'm going to exhort you to do the very thing that I'm telling you not to worry about, okay? Paul says, whether we are watching or drowsing, I'll put the verse down here, we will be snatched away together with Christ, whether we're watching or drowsing. Our calling does not depend on us being alert, does not depend on us being on it. It does not depend on us being a prudent slave even. We can be slothful. We can be careless. We can beat our fellow slaves even. This is not ideal. I don't recommend it. But ours is a message of transcendent grace. I'm sorry, but that's what transcendent grace does. It overlooks those things I just mentioned, including this. Grace is favor shown to those who deserve the opposite. That's the definition of it. If you deserve it, it's not grace anymore. So as long as someone believes in the death of Christ for sin, his entombment and his resurrection, and of course you realize the impediments Satan places before those essentials. He places the doctrine of free will in front of Christ died for our sin, because free will makes you get rid of your own sin by believing in Jesus. Of course, he puts the Trinity in front of Christ died. But anyway, if you can get past those impediments by the grace of God and believe the simple truth that everything you have, your salvation, your very life, is not out of you. And you're not just saying it. You're not a hypocrite. You're not just saying it. It's not of me. You're actually believing it's not of you. In other words, in order to do that, you would have to get rid of free will. You can't believe in free will and still actually believe that your salvation is not of you. That's a classic Christian pose. It's not of me. It's of Christ. I call BS. You get behind it, of course it's of them, because they believe they have free will. They decided that's why they're going to heaven and other people are going to hell. Blah, blah. We all know that. Mass hypocrisy. So if one actually believes in the death of Christ for sin and his entombment and his resurrection, one will be snatched away with Christ, because it doesn't depend on our behavior. 2 Timothy 1:9. We are called not in accord with our acts. Not in accord with our acts. And I'm not a hypocrite, so I follow that through. It's not in accord with your acts. However, having said that, we are those who have come to a fuller apprehension of the grace of God than most. Having done that, we live by this scriptural axiom that we are gracious to one another according as God has been gracious to us. But you can't do this unless you realize that God has been gracious to you. This is why, here I go, boxing the Christians again. This is why the Christians aren't very nice, because they actually don't believe that it's the grace of God that saved them. See? They don't actually believe it. And so they don't feel that depth of gratitude. They can't. Why would you be totally grateful to God for something that you actually did? It was up to you, not God. So you can say, oh, I'm thankful to God for my salvation. Why? Why are you thankful to God for your salvation? You're a hypocrite. You should be thankful to yourself. Praise you. Praise you. I praise myself because I made the epic decision to choose Jesus. Just praise you. Quit being a hypocrite. I'm tired of this praising Jesus over here and then telling me you have a free will. Forget it. So we are those who apprehend the grace of God, and so we are gracious to our fellows. And again, I say, you can only be that if you realize you've been saved by grace. I mean, really realize it. Then you're like so thankful. It's not just this surface thankfulness. It's not just this, I thank you, I thank you. No, it's like, oh my God, That could easily have been me. That vessel of dishonor could easily have been me. And so we extend that. Now that we understand that, we look at other people totally differently. It's like, oh, dude, it is really not your fault that you're not a believer. And so, as members of the body of Christ, having apprehended this, we extend it to other people. And again, the religious world, the Christians, they can't do it. That's why they're mean. Yeah, because they can't do it. And so, even though we don't have to be like the slaves spoken of by our Lord in Matthew 24 and the prudent virgins spoken of in Matthew 25, we don't have to be that. And it's helping you right now to hear me say that. And I have to continue to say that this calling is not in accord with your acts. Because unless I say that, you're going to resent Christ for putting any strings on your salvation. This is how humans are. God made us this way. Right? We don't like to be fooled. They really tricked me at LA Fitness. You know, I went to join LA Fitness here. There's a gym down here. And Juliana told me that they were having a discount where if you had a friend that was going to LA Fitness and Juliana was, then I could join. You could have your friend join and you would get a reduced initiation fee. And so I went in there. They laid out the terms. They said, yeah, here's your reduced initiation fee and here's the cost of it per month. And the guy said, you can scan your card now. So I scanned my card to pay for it. And then he said, then he pulled up a screen. Now here's the screen of what you'll owe. And I looked on the screen and there was my initiation fee. There was my first monthly fee. And then there was another fee in there. And it was a yearly maintenance fee or something. Wait. Dude, what's this? He said, oh, that's just, that's an annual, this maintenance fee, whatever. I said, but you didn't tell me about it. Well, you know, we don't like to, what do you mean you don't like to, what? You're tricking me. You're sneaking something in on me. And I can't stand this stuff. Just as most people can't stand the idea of God being this way. I'm making this analogy of God presenting you a great rosy picture of grace and I love you unconditionally, says God. And then, of course, in come the conditions. Unconditional love that has many conditions attached. Well, you have to love me back. I mean, come on. You gotta at least love me back, says the Christian God. Yeah, so this guy at LA Fitness playing the role of the Christian God, by the way, not being the true God, being the imitator, the false God. I said, you know what? This really upsets me. Why didn't you tell me this fee up front? Well, I've told you now. That's what he said. Well, I told you now. Yeah. You told me after I swiped my card, after I had gone through. You can cancel. You can cancel. You don't have to go through with this. I said, that's not the point. You brought a condition in after you had sold me on the program and after you had me swipe my card. And he was starting to look a little bit sheepish because I was pushing him. And I said, it's not the bottom line cost that's bothering me. In fact, I would pay twice that if you had been honest with me at the beginning. But you weren't. So now I resent it. And if it's a dollar extra, I resent it because you did not present it that way at the outset. And I said, and something tells me that this is your training. And I said, you know what? I'm not even blaming you for this. I have a feeling that they told you when you present a membership to prospective members of LA Fitness, you're not to tell them about this annual whatever it is, this thing you threw in there for the hell of it to make more money. They told you, didn't they, that don't tell them about that fee until they swipe their card. They told you that, didn't they? He said, yeah, something like that. I said, sir, I'm not blaming you. But I just want you to know how that affects how I look at you, at your company. You're trying to wring the last dollar out of me, and you're trying to do it surreptitiously. You tried to do it with a sleight of hand. And it's a bad way to do business. And that's how the Christian God does business. With a sleight of hand. A rosy presentation. Gonna give you half off. If you got a friend, we'll give you half off. It's a wonderful place. It's only $29 a month. You get your initiation fee half off, and you're good to go. Good to go. I thought I was good to go. Until the screen came up after I had committed. Oh, well, I can still get out of it. It's not the point, dude. Not the point. Anyway, God is not like that. That's not the true God. In fact, Hey, LA Fitness. If you want to bring more customers into your operation, give them something extra. Tell them they can bring a friend in for 10 days. For 10 days free. Surprise people with a bonus. Surprise people the other way. Instead of surprising them with an add-on fee, how about this? Surprise them with a refund. You know what? We're going to knock $20 off of this. That's a surprise. You didn't tell me that. And I'm happy for it. Even if it's built in, even if you already know you're going to do it and you build it into the price, I'm fine with that. Just don't tell me one thing and it's another thing at the checkout, right? Surprise me in a good way. This is God, and this is what I'm going to, part of what I'm going to talk to you about tomorrow. It's, God is full of surprises, yes, but never, ever are they dark surprises. Never are they tricks. Never are they such that when you open your product, when you get home, a piece breaks off of it. Or you get your oranges home and there's two in the bag that are smushed. Or you get to the screen at LA Fitness and you find out there's a fee added on that they didn't tell you about. Never. In fact, God will overwhelm us with bonuses. Things that we aren't even reading about in here. You know how we're kind of ticked off? I'll speak for myself. You know how I'm kind of ticked off that there's precious little information in the scriptures about our celestial home? God's doing it on purpose. Because he has bonuses. I mean, my heart gets filled at times, not all the time, but my heart gets filled at times with the anticipation of what it's going to be like to rise and meet Christ in the air and be taken to our celestial home, and you get a brief glimpse of it, the sun and the stars. And I'm ready to go with that. I mean, I'm good. But God likes that because he secretly can't wait to like overpay, overdo, add bonuses, discount this, add that. He's got so many little rewards. That's not even the right word. So many different extravagances that were not in the contract. Here's the fine print on God's contract. The fine print. That's where companies today hide all the nasty little crap they're going to do to you. All the exaggerated penalties you're going to have to pay, the higher interest if you don't make your payment on the correct date on your credit card. That's all in the fine print. God's fine print is so small you can't even see it, okay? But if you could see it, the fine print, you take a magnifying glass, it's like in one point type, and you enlarge it, and it says you're going to be paid $18 million more than what I told you you were going to get paid. Your vacation, I told you you were going to get 3 weeks vacation a year. No, it's 30 weeks. I told you that this health plan I had for you, says God, I told you this health plan was going to cost you $10 a month. No, it's only going to be 10 cents. And the more you read this fine print, your heart starts to go, what? It's like, and you laugh, and it's like, can this possibly be true? Oh yeah, it can be true.